I'm Jen Moore, and this is Homebrew. In this episode, we're wading into the waves of cyberfeminism with a look at Canada's gender-digital divide through the work of Women's Space.
We're in the year 2006, and still there is a huge gender-digital divide right across Canada. What's been happening, of course, is because the roles in women's lives have just been overpowering in terms of the different responsibilities and tasks that they have. What we're seeing, first of all, is that women don't necessarily have the same amount of time available to them in order to get access to the net. Of course, the other social determinants that play a huge impact on that, number one would be poverty. Women can't afford to get the technology in order to be able to use it to fulfill their own goals. And also, there are some key components around geography in Canada and the fact that yes, urban women do necessarily have more opportunities to get access through community access points and through public types of commuter terminals. However, there are still very many number of communities in the country that don't have regular access, and women are still seeing a prevalence of a digital divide across the country.
In March 2006, the Telecommunications Policy Review Panel under Industry Canada issued a report that acknowledged a geographical digital divide. It recommended a new government program, UCAN, which would ensure that all Canadians have access to broadband internet services by 2010. However, Kathy Marshall, Executive Director of Women's Space, said that the report failed to consider gender in its recommendations. She also says that by and large, the world of information communication technologies, or ICTs, is male-dominated territory within which making space for issues affecting women's access and supporting feminist activities online is a serious challenge. She and I spoke while I was visiting Ottawa in early June. We met up in her office on Somerset West.
Women's Space is a Canadian nonprofit feminist organization that helps promote women's equality using information communication technology. Our organization has been in existence since the mid-90s, 1995, and we largely started because we found that there were, with the advent of technology and the internet back in the mid-90s, we really wanted to help promote women's equality through internet resources. And when we were originally started, what we found was that there were a huge lack of women-related resources on the internet, so we thought that we needed to create our own organization in order to help promote that through technology. Mm-hmm. When we first started, Women's Space was governed and still is governed by a volunteer board of directors that span across the country, and in terms of our governance, we use technology completely in order to connect, in order to run our organization and to move our agendas forward. First, when we started, our initiatives included a number of different types of resources and publications to help women empower themselves and to learn more about technology so that they could actually harness it as a tool. From there, so between 1995 and 2002, we created a series of magazines, publications, and journals written from diverse groups of women across the country in order to help each other to empower using technology as a tool. From there, what happened in the early turn of the century, we took a look at, I guess, concentrating our focus on ensuring that women's communication rights and equality and policy development through the federal government were part of their infrastructures. And for some time, we lobbied to get women's presence included in government online initiatives, in consultations with international governance and treaties around women's communication rights through the United Nations and the Commission on the Status of Women. In 2003, we were heavily involved in the international arena as it relates to women's communication rights, and Women's Space represented Canadian women in the 47th Commission on the Status of Women in New York City in 2003, because at the time the theme of that consultation was around ICTs. So we've done a lot of work since we began, and we're quite excited about the work that we're doing. Just to get back to where we are in terms of focusing with other women's groups, because of the rapid advancements in technology and with the onset of the new Web 2.0 tools, we've been taking a look at using those particular tools and helping women to empower themselves to embrace those to continue to further their goals and objectives.
Just stepping back a little bit to how the organization started and why it started, I'm wondering if you can kind of set a bit of a picture on the gender digital divide and sort of what women's relationship has been to information technologies in a Canadian context.
We're in the year 2006 and still there is a huge gender digital divide right across Canada. What's been happening, of course, is because the roles of in women's lives have just been overpowering in terms of the different responsibilities and tasks that they have. What we're seeing, first of all, is that women don't necessarily have the same amount of time available to them in order to get access to the net. Of course, the other social determinants that play a huge impact on that, number one would be poverty. Women can't afford to get the technology in order to be able to use it to fulfill their own goals. And also there are some key components around geography in Canada and the fact that yes, urban women do necessarily have more opportunities to get access through community access points and through public types of commuter terminals. However, there are still very many number of communities in the country that don't have regular access, and women are still seeing a prevalence of a digital divide across the country. I know that the Government of Canada has instituted a number of different programs in order to offset the geographical digital divide that's happening in the country and have invested millions of dollars in order to do that. In a recent panel review, Industry Canada last year struck a panel on telecommunication review and policy panel. And they just finished the review and issued a report just last fall around what the current status is of telecommunication policy and how they should move forward. One of the recommendations of this particular panel was to reinstitute a program that ensured that high-speed broadband access would be available right across the country. And that new program is being named UCAN. And I'm not sure what the acronym means, but it is available on their website. And they are continuing to suggest to government that they need to continue to invest dollars in order to bridge the digital divide that's across the country. Having said that, women are even further marginalized within that particular divide for all sorts of reasons. But the biggest one, again, would be poverty and the lack of access. And the other thing, too, is that when women go into public sites that would be available to them, lots of times there are a huge lack of privacy within those particular terminals, and women don't necessarily feel safe if they are seeking personal information or specific information that they require to get off the net. So it's a big conundrum. It sure is.
And how about just the factor of time for women?
It's huge. I think that women are the ultimate multitaskers as it comes to time management because there are just so many roles and responsibilities in their lives. And often what I see personally in circles that I'm connected with is that many women manage their time so that their internet activity is done throughout the course of the early morning. So that then once children get up for school and they have to prepare for the day, well, then at least they've had some short time in early mornings in order to access the information and to keep up to date. But time management and ICTs is a real conundrum that we need to address in terms of how to best manage the time and the resources that we have.
How early would you be talking?
I personally get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and one of my dedicated time frames in terms of doing email and responding to requests is between 5:30 and 7. And there are lots of times when I'm having email exchanges with other colleagues during that specific time because that's the only time we have available, given that we could be in day-long consultations, we could be doing presentations, we could be attending and presenting at conferences like the one that we've just done, and so on. So it's the key trick would be to be the master of your own time manager in order to integrate technology completely into your life.
And I want to talk a little bit about some of the policy role that Women's Space has been playing in Canada and if you can talk about what it is that you would like to see advanced, or the kind of voice and participation that Women's Space would like to have in policy development around ICTs in Canada particularly.
The Government of Canada first began their Government Online initiative back in the early 2001, and Women's Space was involved from a perspective of being a part of some of the consultations that took place in terms of when they were developing their plan to roll out government services online. One of the things that we've been advocating for quite some time is a women's cluster on the Government Online website. And the reason for that there are lots of reasons, but one of the biggest capacities or reasons that we think that the government needs to look specifically at women's issues as it relates to the services that they're offering is because lots of times when there are a number of government departments that play a key role in developing the initiatives that are coming down through the federal government of Canada. And women's equality and women's issues as it relates specifically to ICTs are not necessarily on those agendas. If you go and look specifically at the Government of Canada website, what you'll see there are a number of different designations. You'll see one there for Canadians, one for people who are not Canadians. You'll see specific target groups like seniors and specific target groups like for people with disabilities. One of the things that Women's Space is going to be doing over the course of September is, just last year, the Government of Canada amalgamated a lot of their online services through a one-stop shop called Service Canada. Within that particular program, what they've done is they've amalgamated a number of different services, like applying for your social insurance number, applying to get your passport. You're able to complete an online profile and begin the application process for your unemployment insurance. And you're able to do a number of different things that relates to providing personal information about who you are through this electronic medium. In September, Women's Space is actually going to be hosting an online consultation specifically around this particular department and the new way that they've rolled out these particular programs. Reason being is that even though there are different departments that are connected to this particular one-stop shop under the global umbrella of Service Canada, what's happening when viewers are actually going into the site and logging into different components, we aren't really sure yet where personal information goes and where it travels through the different departments. We think that women's issues are very unique as it relates to information communication technology. And even when it means accessing government services, women would like to be able to get information very quickly, very timely, as it relates specifically to their needs. Hence why we've been advocating since the late 2002, actually, that we would like to have a women's cluster on the Government Online website. We've been lobbying since then, and we will continue to lobby until we actually see that cluster up there.
How much of a presence do you feel like you have at the table, or what are some of the barriers to sort of making that happen and come to fruition?
I think that one of the biggest barriers around getting ourselves to the table is actually getting to the table. Policy development, even more specifically with ICTs, is a pretty much male-dominated type of an arena. And Women's Space is just one organization across the country that's working specifically for women's equality as it relates to ICT policy development. So we are a very small voice in a very big sea, and we will continue to gather our membership and rally around that, and it's been a big struggle. We were involved in when the Telecommunication Policy Review Panel did their review last year. We were involved in the consultation process. We submitted a brief to them and worked in coalition with other organizations like the BC Rural Women's Network, as well as a number of other social justice nonprofit organizations, in order to ensure that there are community perspectives on future ICT policy development. But the struggles still continue.
Is there coalition building happening in that regard, in terms of putting women's voice on the table in terms of ICTs?
There is. There certainly is. However, one of the things that we are seeing is, while grassroots and provincial women's organizations are extremely keen in terms of advancing women's equality, time plays a key factor in terms of being able to build coalitions within specifically women's organizations in order to promote women's equality. Organizations are extremely strapped and focusing attention on fulfilling their own goals. And we will continue to do the same, of course.
Aside from their work with women's organizations across the country and efforts to lobby the Canadian government, Women's Space has also gotten involved with international meetings and efforts to put a gender lens on information communication technologies worldwide. And I wanted to hear a little bit about the involvement that you have had in terms of providing some briefs and background documents to the recent World Summit on the Information Society and the Gender Caucus that has been part of that.
The Gender Caucus and the Voices Gender Caucus, actually, they met in November in Tunis. And Women's Space's role in that whole particular process actually started back in 2003. We did an online consultation with women across the country to talk about e-participation and policy development, worldwide gender, digital divide, and global access. And as a result of that, we published a consultation paper and we presented it in Seoul, Korea back in 2000. Where we, of course, advocated that gender be included in the terminology around any types of future policy development and governance. And we've been kind of like the Canadian sister to the Voices Gender Caucus in terms of advancing that within the Canadian mainstream. But basically, again, you know, even on an international level, it goes back to the fact that ICTs are typically mainstream, a male-dominated society, and men are creating the policies and processes without considering putting a gender lens on those particular developments to see how it would impact on women.
Mm-hmm. So I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you were asked to contribute to the discussion and coming from the perspective of how ICTs may or may not be advancing women's equality, and perhaps from more the perspective, I don't know if you were asked specifically to sort of argue one side or the other, or if you took a particular position on that. And I'm wondering just what your perspective is on that.
Sure. I was actually involved in the Voices Gender Caucus debate from a distance. I was one of the e-volunteer coordinators that helped pull information together in preparation for the debaters in order to have this debate. And my specific role with it was to provide additional information about how information and communication technology has undermined it, women's equality and women's human rights. And I have a bit of a twofold perspective on that specifically, because I think with the rapid advancements of ICTs, that there are in many capacities lots of examples that would cite that ICTs are undermining women's equality. I mean, we only have to look to the internet and see that there are over 4 million pornographic websites that would determine that even that specific issue alone would undermine women's equality. There is the whole issue around cyber stalking, cyber bullying, cyber whatever it would mean as it relates to cyber discrimination against women. And here at Women's Space, we see that on a daily basis. On the other side of that, though, I would also tend to say that ICTs have enhanced a women's activity and women's equality from a perspective of bringing our community closer together through the technology. Women's Space has been very grateful to be able to develop coalitions with women's organizations in Africa and Uganda, and we've done some work with youth organizations in the U.S. that we wouldn't have been able to do if we, you know, weren't connected to the net. In 2005, we hosted a delegation of women to come from Hungary to learn more about our work so that they would be able to pass that on to women in Hungary. So to go back to your question, I think that ICTs have undermined women's equality, but I think what's happening is that women are claiming that space right now as their own, learning the skills and the tools that they need in order to harness that, and we are seeing some advancements in it as well. So it's a bit of a twofold process. Because we see such blatant discrimination on the net, I think that that makes it a little personal for other women to empower the use of the technology in order to move it forward.
Mm-hmm. And certainly I understand that one of the central issues, even in the way that the World Summit on the Information Society was initiated and set up, and perhaps something that is definitely behind and one of the largest struggles in any sort of discussion around equality on the internet is just the corporate dominance of that discussion and the corporate Absolutely. Voice at that table. Is there any reflection that you want to give to corporate presence and sort of the sort of patriarchal construction of the net in terms of advancing that debate?
It's huge. I mean, we all know that the internet and technology were developed by man in order to help facilitate a war process. So right from the get-go, women have been struggling in order to make sure that they see themselves as equal footing within this particularly male, patriarchal-dominated forum. And I think that as long as that dominance continues, women will continue to struggle. And I think what we have to do is take a look at how we are creating our own virtual positive spaces and sharing and spreading the message of those particular spaces as we move forward in order to advance our goals. I don't necessarily think that we're going to break down any barriers as it relates to the old boys club in ICTs. However, we can certainly focus our efforts on creating our own. And as we build our voices, then we become better heard. So we're really excited about that.
And I wanted to come back to something that you referred to very early on about the use of Web 2.0 tools. And I'm wondering if you can just describe for listeners what those are and how these are useful in some of the construction of spaces on the site that are very much in tandem with feminist principles.
I would say a couple of years back, we saw a big paradigm shift as it relates to how people are using technology with the introduction of Web 2.0 tools. Basically, what that means is that prior to those introductions, many of the women's groups that were using technology were using it in order to spread the word. They were using it to get their messages out, and it was basically set up in a way where you would design what Women's Space would call a brochureware website and present your information, and people can go in a very passive way and read it. With the introduction of Web 2.0, what you're seeing now is that folks are becoming far more interactive with the actual tools and technology. Last year, Women's Space completely changed over their virtual presence for the association website, as well as our new initiative that we have up and running called Women's Voices, which is a Canadian women's feminist portal that we introduced in just early this year. With that, what that means is that we have an opportunity to offer tools for free for women to use, and they become empowered in order to get their own voices out on the internet. Web 2.0 means that because the tools are interactive, women can use different types of media like blogging, like podcasting, like being participants in forums, setting up e-lobby campaigns so that you can do virtual activism, and all those sorts of things. So you're seeing a completely different interaction with the internet and with technology because it's much more easier to get access to the information, and because of open source software now, we're able to get it for free. So it's great because it's empowering women to just harness it and run with it, and we're very excited about that.
And I'm wondering, in terms of feminist organizing that you're seeing taking place nowadays in Canada, what are some other ways that you see this being harnessed? In particular, something that you referred to yesterday in terms of feminist organizing in response to the really sort of right-wing conservative politics that we're currently seeing in Canada. And how are you seeing feminist organizations right now sort of preparing responses and utilizing ICTs particularly for that purpose?
I think that the main components that women organizations are using in order to advance their own agendas within government would be blogging tools, would be online polls and surveys where they're gathering information from their members extremely quickly, and then it would be the use of their own organizational internal databases in order to lobby government electronically. Women's Space and Women's Voices are currently in the process of developing a component within their website called their e-lobby component. And specifically what that will do is provide an opportunity for women's organizations to come to our website if they have a specific issue that they want to bring forward to the government. Then we would be able to assist them in developing that and making sure that it gets to all the MPs in an extremely timely basis. Like within a day, it could potentially happen. And so what we're seeing is that women's groups are responding more quick in order to get information directly to governments, because there's a feed there now between Civil Society Canada with direct access through technology to government. So it's going to be an extremely valuable tool. Mm-hmm. One of the other interesting points that I would like to bring up is just to get back to the Government Online Initiative and how government is using technology. I was involved very recently in an experience where the government had announced that they were going to be launching their first very own online consultation around the budget and the budget recommendations that were going to be put forward. And during this particular consultation, government had indicated to us that you could respond individually if you chose to, and that your responses could go to a designated MP. One of the problems that Women's Space had with that is that an online consultation would be a process where citizens and members come together and share views and discussions and feedback and opinions on the particular issue first before making presentations. So we've been trying to educate MPs and government departments around a democratic, fair online consultation process where others are engaged and participate in this particular online venue, and it's still being considered as a tool that's growing, I would say, because the process that happened was not exactly how consultants would or people would consult. It was more like an online poll or a survey where you provided your information and then sent it directly to a designated email address. Mm-hmm. And Women's Space certainly advocates a different format for online consultations so that all women and all folks are involved.
And for yourself, how do you balance the potential for internet to provide and facilitate conversation and discussion and its ability or inability maybe to replace what it's like to have those conversations in person?
That's a good question, Jen. What's interesting is that I know that a lot of groups who use technology as their main form of communication very could potentially experience isolation as it relates to not meeting face to face. With Women's Space, because we know that there are so many people so many women in Canada who don't get access, we also have a number of offline strategies that we use in order to get our information out to our membership as well as other women across Canada. I think that the internet and technology is one specific tool that can be used and would never ever take away from in-person consultations or face-to-face dialogues. I think that those are key focal points as well for you know, full citizen engagement. So I see the internet and technology as one specific tool that can be used amongst a whole group of tools, and absolutely would not advocate that it replace any form of in-person conference, consultation, or face-to-face dialogue.
A big thanks to Kathy Marshall for her time. To find out more about Women's Space, visit www.womenspace.ca. Homebrew is a part of the Rabble Podcast Network, which is located at www.rabble.ca/RPN. If you have any feedback about this program, please contact me at homebrew.podcast@gmail.com. For Homebrew, I'm Jen Moore.